callings and destinies are born in the presence of God. Samuel received his call when he stayed and lived around the ark. Amen. When little children hang around the atmosphere of where people seek God and are looking out and they're calling for the things of God, that's how they capture their destinies. That's how they capture the feel they come into their presence. And I just thank God for you parents that are just setting this example and encouraging your children to come with you. I know sometimes in the age we live in, it's hard for children to really understand it, but as we stay in the presence of God, God will speak to them. God will minister to them. God will create and in their mindset what it means to really have. I remember people used to say, it was the way I saw my father or my grandparents in church that stirred my heart and I received the call of God. But today, when all children do is watch their parents watch television and watch TV and do this and do that and do, and that's what they do. But if they see their parents seeking God, doing the things of God, following, you don't have to tell them. They grow up saying, that's the way I should go. So you are giving these children inheritance that is bigger than anything else. So no matter where else they go, whether they become doctors or lawyers, you have given them the rock of their salvation, the strength that will carry them to the best that this world can give. Amen? So it's a privilege to have little children in the presence of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Michael received this calling by just being in the presence of God, the presence. Parents were bringing him here when he was young. And obviously you can see the call of God on that young boy's life. Amen. Amen. Please, again, thank you for your patience. A few weeks ago when I was gone, the air condition here, the blower, went bad. They didn't know. So they sent the company that we bought a new air conditioner unit here. They came and they looked at it. They just found out that it was a blower. But the way these people work, they have to order the part. So we told them to make it as urgent as possible because we didn't know we were going to be here. So hopefully you'll get more tanning and more good sweat bodies and syrup. You know, just we'll try to bring a lot of, you know, in those, community churches here, they have this fan, you know, maybe I'll send Van to go borrow some of them. we're not used to it here. In the middle of this air condition, the place is cool, they will still bring that fan, but they'll pass it out. It's kind of a tradition. Okay, you brought yours with you. Yes. I don't know, it's kind of a tradition, I don't know. Wow, we thank God for grace, amen? We thank God for grace. Do you know in Africa people walk miles in the sun just to go to a church without chairs and to stay in roofs without air condition or fan? And they dance and they sweat and they rejoice. And they, in China, I mean, underground, people go, they serve God with so much joy under very bad situation. But here, if there's no air conditioner, it's like the Holy Ghost is not there. Amen. People feel the Holy Ghost when the air conditioner is really working. Isn't that amazing? We thank God for grace. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for your prayers. My going away was one of the most amazing experiences of my life. There is nothing like when you completely can't even see a human being with your eyes, you're not attending to anything, you're not in a hurry to go anywhere, your soul is totally focused and at rest, and all you're doing is just waiting on God. There's no way God will not come to you. It's not possible. God will come to you. And so it was 21 days of just enclosed in the presence of God. And I was able to get answers and clarities and comfort and encouragement and just empowered in many ways to understand where I've been, my mistakes, where we are, where we're going, and what God has for us. Amen? Amen. I'm really excited. And that's why when God calls people into ministry in the Bible, he calls them to wait upon him. The word ministry is really to wait upon the Lord. It's to, that word minister is waiting upon the Lord. It's not a dormant waiting. It's an active waiting of seeking God and ministering to him. Amen? In the Old Testament, it's true sacrifices, but in the New Testament, it's true living sacrifices. Amen? So it's in that waiting process that you are able to receive from the Lord and able to convey what you're hearing from the Lord to the people. And that's what is called ministries. Amen? Amen. So I thank God that he was so merciful and so gracious. My life would never be the same. And in the past, if I wait for maybe 7 days, I feel like God has just blessed me. But this time, I really knew what it meant to, you know, when you please God, God will never let you go empty. Amen. He was so faithful. So this coming season that we're going to start at 21 days, beginning the whole feast, the seventh month feast from the trumpets all to the tabernacles, we're going to consecrate it for 21 days prayer and fasting. It will be a revolution for us, and it will be a sealing of what we've started in the first month. Amen. So I will encourage you as much as you can to be here. We'll be over the other side when we start all that whole, the 14 days, and then the last 7 days, the Feast of Tabernacle Days, will be here. Definitely, while we're still here, the air condition will work, amen? We'll get it soon, because I know a lot of people are going to have to, you know, it's just natural for people to. So we're going to try to make it possible by God's grace, not to hinder anybody coming. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus made a very powerful statement. He said that the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And Paul made another statement when he was writing to the Corinthians. He said, the letter of the word kills, but it's the spirit of the word that gives life. Yeah? So, but again, in Revelations, the angel, you know, as John, he says that the spirit of prophecy, that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Basically, what I'm trying to say by that is the word of the Lord, this word that is written, was inspired by the Holy Ghost, brought to Timothy. So, when we receive things from the Lord, they are inspired by the Holy Ghost. And the revelation comes from the spirit of wisdom and understanding. And when God gives us inspiration and understanding of his word, it is no more a letter, meaning it's not a dead word. It is an active word. Meaning if it's an active word, means it's a prophetic word. It's something we need to receive by faith and walk in it. Receiving it by faith and walk in it. So we have to be very sensitive as we are in the presence of the Lord and God begins to unfold some things to us. We all might not receive it exactly the same, but customize what you're hearing to fit into what God has been speaking to you, or what God has been preparing you, or what God has been showing you is connected to his call on your life and what he wants to do with you. So God will speak prophetically, but individually you receive it and let it be an inspiration or a fuel or an awakening or an encouragement or whatever it is to something God is already doing in your life, or something that God wants to do, or something that God is already, God, where God wants to take you. That's why the word of God is always active, is prophetic, is alive, and is moving. So as you receive it based on, tailor it to who you God has shown you are. Or if you don't know who you are, receive it as who you are. Just embrace the word of God and let the Spirit of God customize it to you. That's how you'll be fruitful with it. And then the other part is, after you receive it for yourself, whichever way God tailors it to your heart, then you also receive the understanding of it in a corporate sense. How that relates to the church, to the family, the local Man Zion family. How will that manifest itself in the atmosphere we are in? How does that fit the season we are in? And then you relate it to how, what is it? How does it relate to the body of Christ as a whole? So these things, they have that kind of dimensional understanding. And sometimes, too, based on the word that is being released, you say, how does it relate to this generation, to this city, to the nation? Amen? Amen. So I want to read one scripture just for tonight for prayer, and then I will explain the scripture. Everything I said now is for you not to receive anything I say as just reading the Bible. I want you to know that whatever I share is prophetic in nature. Amen? And that's some of the kind of experiences. There are things that I believe God will allow me to share because I feel it's time to take this house really deep, but very simple, but deep and clear. And because God wants to activate the high call that is upon this house, upon everybody called here, to start preparing for the kind of mandate and empowerment that God is about to bring upon our lives. Amen. As we enter into this season. So the one scripture I want to read here is in Luke 1, 57. This was manifested to us at the all-night prayer last night. And whenever God brings words like this, we want to make sure that we embrace it and carry it in prayer until it takes us to the next. Luke 1, 57. Now, Elizabeth's full time came. Elizabeth's full time what? Came. Her full time came that she should be delivered. And she brought forth a son. And she brought forth a son. Amen. During the season, we started waiting upon the Lord from the first month. There were things God was saying to us. There were revelations, understanding He was giving us about the season, and you know, just blowing our hearts and us. We're just excited. And then we entered into the weeks and the months that were just, until now we're about to enter the seventh month, which is the end of the cycle. And there were things the Lord spoke to us here about the days of remembrance, the season of, you know, all this stuff. When I went away, I found out that God is a God who gives us puzzles of things. And then He will bring this puzzle together, and you'll know that God wasn't speaking in vain. And everything was speaking. He was speaking them and preparing us to come to the fullness of a season. Amen? And then you begin to see the fruit of why He was saying the things He was saying. Now, understanding comes from the Bible and the testimonies of the Bible. There was a man by the name of Zechariah, and he's married to this woman called Elizabeth. And these two people, where the Bible described them as very faithful people, very righteous couple, and very blameless. So, in other words, they lived right. They've kept the laws. They did everything they're supposed to do. But most of all, their area of calling, especially the husband, was the pastor or the minister in the area of intercession prayer. So that's their calling. Now, this man has been praying for a long time, him and his wife. And like you all know this story, they were barren. They didn't have children. So at this time, after so many years of praying, they were getting old. And she was getting to pass the time of having children. And barrenness in physical Israel by law is a curse. It's like a curse, a taboo. So when you have somebody who represents God, an intercessor for other people, they come and his prayers is blessing Israel, blessing people. He's standing in the gap. People bring their sacrifices and he prays and intercedes and they go home and they are blessed and they have children. They have whatever they came every year and every season. But people watch them for years. They are fruitless. They're barren. What that does to the mind of a person that serves God is unbelievable if you don't have understanding. It's a reproach and it's a war in your mind sometimes about, is it you? What have I done? Where is God? Why is he allowing this? What is going on? I am praying. I am seeking you. I'm doing everything. I'm seeing other people blessed. Like David, but why me? And then why are you putting me in a position where I serve as somebody who prays for miracles and I don't get one? So what does that speak of him? What kind of testimony does it give of him? So basically, he reverses it and puts in people's mind like, okay, this thing is not God. It must be him or the wife. Something is wrong with them. So it creates, again, imaginations in people's minds that it causes it to bring reproach upon them. So if you put all this together, there is a reason you and I have been there why it is not a good experience when you are believing God for something that is obvious to people and that thing is not forthcoming for a long time. But this was for years. So, they were praying. But one day, he went to prayer. You will see this pattern with almost 4 or 5 people in the Bible that God used to bring great, great move of God in their dispensation. This pattern all through the Bible. They were all barren. So this angel Gabriel came, just manifested. Or it will look like, in today's world, it will look like us being here, and as we're praying, all of a sudden, God just moves mightily and just prophesies to somebody here based on your need. Because the Lord speaks to us by his Spirit. So it was an obvious move of God, a manifestation that is undeniable. He was alone in that priest's office, in the place where he goes to pray. Nobody's there, just where he ministers to the Lord and intercedes. And then angel Gabriel shows up right in front of him. So he's undeniably God. And he says, your time has come. Basically. I've come because your prayers have been answered. And here is the answer, you know, that. You're going to have this son and you know, here is this whole great thing about the son and that. I mean, amazing, amazing prophetic word. And Zechariah, immediately out of the frustration and out of the things that have been building up for years that he couldn't share with anybody, told the angel how, you know, just clear unbelief. How do I know? You know, so you all know what happened. The angel said, now your mouth, you know, you'll be dumb until the day this will happen. And after that experience, Elizabeth became pregnant. Now, prayer and waiting on God has dimensions, especially in your expectation. The reason I'm saying this is some people will say, oh, Joseph had a dream and God spoke to him in a vision about his destiny. Oh, Abraham had a word from the Lord about having a child so he could hold on to something. Oh, this person had a vision or this person had a dream. Zachariah didn't have a vision, didn't have a dream about what God has for him. All he was a man of prayer. His wife, a woman of prayer. So don't discount what I'm about to tell you about the atmosphere of destiny. Don't discount your calling and your destiny by saying, if you don't have this radical Damascus vision, that God has not called you to great purposes. Zachariah had a great call upon his life. But he didn't realize it. So the angel told him this. So what happened? The angel said, this is what you've been praying for, but God is giving you, is going to bring this, you know, to you. You know, it talks about him birthing John the Baptist. Now, I want you to see this. He told him he is the man that was going to be the steward of bringing from heaven to earth what God has spoken for generations about Israel. That there will be a forerunner. There will be one who will prepare the way for the Messiah. And he, because God has found him faithful, will be the man God will use through his loins to bring forth that seed. In other words, he is in the chronicles of the prophetic destiny of Christ without knowing it. So you say, how do I know? So now Elizabeth became pregnant. So what are the dimensions of prayer or waiting on God? When we start praying and we're waiting on God, first of all, there's an expectation. In their condition, their expectation is a child. Okay? Yours might be, whatever, just put a name to it. It might be a vision or a dream. It might be whatever it is. It might even be a material expectation. It might be a destiny. It might be anything. But they had an expectation, and they've been praying on that expectation, and it was a child. Now, they've not seen that child, but they've been praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. So the first aspect of the war of faith, the war of prayer, is God, it's your will for me to have a child. It's a right desire, it's a right expectation, and I'm praying I can have it. So now, the first level of waiting on God in prayer is when you are walking on total faith. It's difficult. Absolute faith. So you're trusting God, but you have to put your total trust in his promise. In this promise, and you're just praying and waiting and trusting. You're struggling and you're waiting, and it looks like it will never happen. Then God takes you to the next level of waiting or prayer, where now there is a substance to your faith, a very manifest substance. And that's when Zachariah received the visitation. And then the next was when Elizabeth became pregnant. So this time, they are praying, they are waiting on God, but they are not waiting with an empty stomach. Amen? They have now the promise, but the promise is not visible, it's still in the womb. Amen? So the faith has a substance now. There's an encouragement. There is now a tangible. It's like, okay, we can really pray. We can wait 9 months now. You know? There's hope. You know, before there was like, where, you know? So you understand. So now, there's something they can hold on to, but it's not out yet, but it still has 9 months to go. So now, The Bible made an amazing statement, and it said, now Elizabeth's full time came. Elizabeth's full time came, and she delivered and brought forth a son. The Lord, when I was away, and what he did was he impregnated my heart, my spirit with, I mean, God just poured so much into my spirit. There's no way you can take notes. There's no way. I took notes on certain things, but this was a flood of understanding of the season, the times, what God is doing, everything, things I don't know. So what he's going to do in this season is, anytime what is needed, it will just pop up. In other words, like a computer, you put a folder. So as we wait upon the Lord, some of these things will just come. For example, what I'm sharing with you now that came up last night is something the Lord was sharing with me with some things, and then this part popped up last night. So I know this is the part that we need to press into, have understanding, and God will build from there. And it's about the fullness of time. The fullness of time. What does that mean in your personal life, in prophetic vision, in waiting on God, in the season, in what God is doing in Zion, like I just said? The Bible says Elizabeth full time came. Full time. The Bible uses another word in Acts. It says when the day of Pentecost was fully come. In Galatians chapter 4, it says, when the fullness of time has come, God sent for his son. You will see that word fully and full time and fullness, the fullness of time. And again, God spoke to Moses on the negative side. He said, to Abraham. He says, your children will be in a strange land until the iniquity of the Amorites is full. Because they said the cup of iniquity of Amorites is not full yet. So he says until it's full, because the iniquity is not full. You can see also iniquity can be full. Fullness of time. What is fullness of time? That is the appointed time that is only known to God when he gives visions or when he calls people. Is it set time, is the appointed time that God himself has set for any vision, for any provision, for any breakthrough, anything he wants to do, is it time that God sets for that thing to be manifested? Whether you're believing God for a bicycle tomorrow, there's a fullness of time for that breakthrough, for you to see that. But for that to happen, there has to be a connection with prayer. There has to be a connection with heaven. There has to be faith. There has to be a covenant with heaven in prayer. And so, in prayer, I want you to really get this, because the reason Zechariah was frustrated, Abraham, all the generations, was because nobody had an understanding of God in this dimension. Paul came and gave us more understanding, and now God is giving us more understanding, because without understanding, we get frustrated and we think God does not answer prayer. There is not one prayer you pray that is not, by faith, that is not being answered. And that's why I'm sharing this fullness of time. So what does fullness of time mean? See, everything has to be received through prayer, through prayer of faith from heaven, you know, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There are things when we pray, it's the timing can be right now. So when we pray, it is instant, right now, it's manifested. You see? There are things that in God's agenda, because God has finished this work, God is not, everything is yes and amen. So God test our faith, it grows our faith, it matures us. But there are certain things that you are asking for that in God's time, what they call a due season, in the fullness of time, which is the due season, in God's time, not your time, for that particular thing to happen, in God's time, it might be tomorrow he wants that to happen. So you pray for it, but you're expecting it now. And God say, in his time is tomorrow. So what God needs between now and tomorrow is more prayers. So but what happens sometimes, because that thing was expected now in your mindset, you think it didn't happen now, so I quit. You cut it off. But if you keep praying, that's why it says men should always pray not to quit. Just keep praying or keep knocking. What you're doing is you're meeting the requirements of God in prayer until the timing. So as he's praying, if you keep praying till tomorrow, all of a sudden tomorrow, bah, the thing happens. You will think it's you. No, it's God's timing. It's God's fullness of time. It's his due season for that. So what happens in prayer is before it was revealed in the book of Revelation, it was first revealed in different passages in the Bible, especially in Malachi, where God talks about the book of remembrance. Again, that has to do with the timing of God. The time God set and says, this is when I'm going to do this. And between here and there, he requires people to stay faithful regardless of the condition in the natural. But people will look at the condition in nature and just like, oh, why are you serving God? Why are you doing that? They quit. But if you stay faithful in what God is asking you to do, stay in prayer, stay in giving, stay, you will get to the fullness of time. The fullness of time is the appointed time of the Lord. It's the maturity of the timing of what God wants to do that God knows will benefit you and benefit the kingdom, not destroy you. There are things, if God does it the time you expect it, it will destroy you. There's no question about it, but we don't know it. So now, it's like plucking a fruit before its timing. Trees have fullness of time in producing fruit. Everything has their timing. We call it harvest time. So what happened? God reveals this about the book of remembrance and stuff, but we don't understand it. So there was a man called Cornelius. He was giving and praying and doing many things. And what he was expecting, nothing has really happened. So we see that instance again when he was visited by an angel, and the angel says, your prayers have been answered. But for some reason, it wasn't time yet, because there were things that had to happen before what God wanted to give to Cornelius come into focus. The Jews has to be receiving the Holy Ghost before it comes to the Gentiles. So that's why when immediately God, it was a timing, God brought it. But there was a statement the angel made about prayer. He used this word. He says, Cornelius, your prayer has become a memorial before God. And that is the key about prayer. There are prayers. When you pray right now, if it's the fullness of time, bam, the miracle or the need or the breakthrough, that you don't need to go through so much test of your faith. It might be tomorrow. It might be next month. It might be next year. It might be like Zachariah, a long time. It might be like Abraham. Whatever it is, this is what God does. There are elders or these beings, seraphims and very special angels before the throne of God. And there is this bowl that they carry. And this bowl contains prayers that were not their timing yet to receive manifestations. But those bowls show that your prayers have been answered. Because if you look at Daniel, the angel says, from the first day you opened your mouth to pray, it was already answered. Cornelius, he says, your prayers have been answered. It was a memorial. If you look at all these people, you say, Angel Gabriel to Zachariah, your prayers have been answered. So it was in the book of Revelation that we were given an understanding after John received this of what God means by memorials in heaven. Memorials are prayers you have been praying, or tears you've been crying in prayer, or prayers. Do you know that there are people who were praying 1,000 years ago for what God should do now? But it was not supposed to happen in their time. It's to happen in our time. So their prayers were kept as a memorial for our generation. Why will God not answer it then? Because it was not the timing. They received the revelation from the Bible. They were praying it, but it wasn't for their generation. It was for the fullness of time. So what God does is he takes those prayers and they are memorials before his presence. And what memorial is, they are prayers that are like incense before God. As God smells it, he's looking towards the fullness of time for that thing to be manifested. And every time you come into the fullness of time, the season for that to happen, that prayer is turned as it's released, and angels carry the answer into that generation. Amen? Amen. So the Lord receives his prayers. Amen? Like Zechariah. So God bless you. Bye. So Zechariah built such a memorial of sweet prayer, sweet incense. And God smelled and says, no, this prayer definitely will bring about this prophetic move. This is the prayer that will launch John the Baptist. This is the prayer that will transition John the Baptist into the womb of a woman. Because John the Baptist became flesh in the days of Zechariah. But in the days of Isaiah, John the Baptist was a word of God. He was to be a messenger. Isaiah saw it and spoke it. Jesus, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. Jesus says, I came from heaven, and I'm going back to heaven. So Zechariah prophesied about John. But John manifested his spiritual DNA in the flesh in the days of Zechariah. But Isaiah said, this is who we be. This is the one that will prepare the way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. So we, like John, are born in this season to fulfill prophetic destinies if we're able to wait on God enough to hear why God has called us. And that's what is visions and dreams. And you can only download this in the times of prayer. Are you following me so far? So when we pray, we wait 2 days, we wait a year. Oh, this prayer has not been answered. Anytime God stirs up your prayer, you know that it is being prepared for something more than you expect. Anytime your prayers look like it's delayed, your prayers are always in that bowl. It is there. There is no prayer. Any prayer of is there. Every time you is there. But when it's time, the due season, God's time in God's season, that prayer mixed with the other prayers of people that have prayed the same thing, but it wasn't for them, maybe it's for you. This whole prayer will be accumulated to manifest that thing over your life in that generation. Do you know how many people from the days of Isaiah have been praying for the prophetic word of John the Baptist to be fulfilled? They've been praying that scripture, praying, because they want the Messiah to come. Praying. All this prayer was collected together and then mixed with Zechariah's prayer, brought John the Baptist in the fullness of time. So the fullness of time is the time when the cumulative prayer on earth as it is in heaven has been received as an incense before God to be released in the timing for what God has destined to happen that he has spoken will be. A lot of people from the days of Isaiah prophesied about a virgin that will give birth have been praying for this virgin. Have been praying for this child that will be born. And when the season came, there were even two people that were literally unionized by God, and they gave their life to even pray, was Simeon and Anna. They lived their life praying and building up that bowl for the manifestation of Christ. And Mary was the one through which all these prayers, the bowl, came through her womb. And she became the one that manifested in the flesh the prayers of many generations that became Jesus, you know, the Word of God. So that's why, without prayer, you don't have any, it's like without money you can't buy anything in the natural world. Without prayer, there is not, faith don't have anything to pull what God wants to do into the earth. Amen? So that's why he calls it the prayer of faith. So having said that, Zechariah did not understand this ministry. Many generations is not. We all are learning this delaying process. What does it mean? So the Bible says Elizabeth full time came. Full time came, fullness. Example of a full time again is the life of Joseph. Joseph received a dream. And all of a sudden, he started praying into this dream, and you know the whole story. Everything in the physical looks like that dream will never happen. But everything in the spirit is building up the memorial for that thing to happen. And this is why I'm sharing this part of this, what the Lord is showing to me about the fullness of time. When God has given you a dream or a vision or what he's going to do in any dispensation, any time, God himself will close the door for that thing to come through human strength. God himself will shut every ability for flesh and blood to make it happen. So that's why Abraham could not make it happen through his strength. Sarah could not make it happen. He killed their natural ability to make it happen, and that was with time. Joseph could not make that. He made it impossible for everything to be totally impossible with Joseph to make it happen. So anytime God wants to manifest a move of God, it comes when God has finished killing every human ability to make it happen so that flesh and blood will not touch it and take the glory of God. So that's the mystery of suffering while you wait, and it gives birth to what you call long-suffering, the fruit of the Spirit. So we don't understand this thing. So that's why people mock people that pray. Because sometimes they are praying, but it's taking long. But it's just because they don't have understanding. So Joseph, as he was waiting for this thing, he was dying in the flesh. God was shutting the door, was killing every ability in the human level for this thing to happen. Abraham the same. And that is the principle. Moses the same. Their flesh must die. Amen? So now, when the timing, remember I shared dimensions of waiting on God. The same time you wait, it looks so empty. If you look to the east, there's no sign. You look to the west, you look to the south, there's no sign. There's no cloud whatsoever. Like Zechariah was empty. Like Joseph, there was a time he was empty all the way. It's like this dream will never happen. But he knows he had it. It's from God. But then when he came to Potiphar's house, he was made the king, the prince of Potiphar's house. So, hey, wow. It's like, wow. Looks like, wait. Potiphar is a big army in Egypt. So it's like, I'm the guy. He's giving me authority over this. I have this. I'm outside of Potiphar gave him in charge. Apart from his wife, Joseph was in charge of everything. So his mind could say, wait a minute, maybe my brothers will come and bow here or something. Maybe this is, something is happening here. Maybe they will come to Egypt and see me in this, you know, position. I mean, so you start thinking in the flesh. Maybe that's it. You know, I told them last night, when you wait on God and you're seeking God and you've not seen a miracle in a long time, if you pray for a headache, it goes away. You think you've seen the greatest miracle. If you are believing God and you come to a point where you don't have money, you couldn't pay your bill, when you come to the point God starts blessing you with $100, you think the miracle has come. When God has plans for millions, you see? Why? Because when you die to the flesh, you become so thirsty and so humble that the least blessing, it just makes you so grateful to God. Amen? But sometimes when you're so full, God will give you a big blessing and you just despise it. But when you're broken, and you have nothing, you'll be thankful for two loaves and two fishes, and God will multiply. So Joseph saw, like, he was getting the flesh here. Oh my, look at this. Look at, and all of a sudden, wow, jail. So it's like the vision is gone again. There is no cloud anywhere. This is the, now I know it's impossible. He can't see it anywhere. Physically speaking, it's gone. But while he was there, another shadow came again. It's like, wow. A butler, the king's butler, came in the jail. And God anointed him, and God started moving in jail. And all of this, these are pillars of waiting on God. Seasons, you taste this, you taste that. God will use that to encourage you a little bit as you're in the process. With that, those things have happened to me a lot. I shared a few of them last night. Now, Joseph now interpreted this dream, and the dream was accurate. Everything was like God was moving, and here the butler was going to be promoted after 3 days. And the butler is not a small person. This is the guy that eats or drinks anything before the king. He sits on the king's table. So he has the king's ears, like Nehemiah. So Daniel, Joseph was like, okay, this thing is going to happen now so I can contribute to it. So he wanted to put his strength, his influence to it. He said, hey, if you get there, remember me now. You know, this is time. Get me out of this place. Remember me means let me enjoy the promotion with you. So he's looking again, scratching in the physical, like Abraham, figuring a way to make this thing happen. 2 years, nothing happened. Because the dream of the butler was not the dream that will highlight his destiny. It was the dream of the king. Amen? The dream of the butler, and the butler is what we call door openers in the Bible. Door openers are people God set up in your life to lead you to what God has for you. All they will do sometimes is just introduce you to somebody. And they are not even connected to the person. And all of a sudden, the person they introduce you to just grabs you and say, you're the guy I've been waiting for. You know, or they take you somewhere and, you know, just, or they just door openers are like the Nehemiah name and that little girl that told him and says, I know a prophet in Israel. That was all she's been in Syria for, was a door opener for Naaman to receive his miracle. She was an access to a prophet. Door openers are just men and women who, like the butler, I remember this man. I remember, and that was his assignment for life. He was to be the bridge that God used to communicate to the ears of the king. I know who has your ears, the answer to this dream. These are door openers. Now, these door openers, or this that God uses, because it says, I shut, no man can. And all this time God shut, but when God opens, it opens in the spiritual realm. And no man, no demon can shut it. So when God opens doors in the spirit realm, it's usually at the fullness of time. And when it opens, things will begin to happen. Angels will visit you, or this will happen, or the butler will come to jail just for your sake. You know, just wherever you are, at the fullness of time, somebody's going to find you. Something is going to connect to you. Somebody's going to think about you somewhere. Somebody's going to, God has a million ways of allowing these door openers to get to you. No matter where you are, is a sign of the fullness, the transition of the fullness of time. So, but the reason I'm sharing this is that there are many times, because we are human, we take the butler as the fullness of time, the experiences of the butler in jail as the fullness of time. And we think, oh my God, this is the fullness of time. And then we wait, it doesn't happen. We say, oh my God, I missed it. Because you wait 1 year, I thought that was it. I thought that was it. Oh, I wait 2 years, I thought. Then all of a sudden, Pharaoh has a dream. And the destiny of Joseph was tied to the dream of Pharaoh. Amen? Not the dream of the buckler. The dream of the buckler is the door opener. When the fullness of time comes, God takes over. And that's what the Lord wants me to, these 21 days we're going to go into. These are some of the things where God wants us to just wait in him. Wait. That's why we started this waiting. That's why when we started waiting from the first month, what we're doing, we've been praying all these years over the destiny of Zion, over our destiny. But this last 7 months we've been waiting is called yielding to the fullness of time. It's called abandoning. It's a time God don't want us to. If we start doing a lot of things in the flesh, we will miss alignment to the timing of God. So it is a time of waiting, but it's an active waiting and prayer. That's why I just knew that I couldn't go anywhere with it. It's an active. That's why God says, don't do this short. Just wait. Because when the fullness of time comes, there is a movement of events that is now being orchestrated by heaven and not by man. Everything you've been doing, you have to put it on hold and let God move it into the surface of what you need to do. If you try to do things in the flesh, you might miss the fullness of time. Because the fullness of time, God is now moving, like the four lepers being moved right into it. God is like a census done in the days of Caesar. The fullness of time, God will move heaven and earth at this point. You don't need to do anything. You wait. And that waiting, like the ego, makes you sensitive to the wind of what God is saying and doing. And you just move with it, and everything happens from there. The fullness of time is a time where the supernatural starts kicking in and you rest upon it, and it carries you gradually, and things begins to butt themselves until it begins to manifest. And that's why the butler came. God orchestrated that. He orchestrated the butler to come. And then Joseph was anointed to interpret the dream. And then that set the stage. It was a transition, but in the natural, I've been there, most people, in the natural, because you've never walked that road before, you think that's it. You think that's it, that's the door. So, but then it's a transition. Now, Pharaoh now has his dream. And then the butler becomes the bridge. And then they go get Joseph. And then Joseph interprets the dream of Pharaoh at the age of 30. And then after interpreting that dream, Pharaoh turns around and says, you become the prime minister. At the fullness of time, your image does not matter. Your strength does not matter. Your criteria does not matter. Whether you're a leper, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you are, as long as you're in the right place and you're positioned with God, God will carry you and you become the vessel of breakthrough. Amen? And that's why in the fullness, in the season of the fullness of time, when a woman has entered her full cycle, she waits. She doesn't do so much activity. You know, and then that's why they take her to the hospital, to the waiting, that waiting place of labor. Everything, you're very careful, because now your life is no more driven by you. Your life is driven by what is happening with the fullness of the baby coming out. Everything is now, your life is being literally driven and motivated by that child that is about to be born. Everything is tailored towards that child. Amen? So that's what happened with Joseph. That's what happened with Abraham. That's what happened with, you know, all the people you see in the Bible. And that's what happened with Zechariah. When it was the fullness of time, my brothers and sisters, when Jesus says, be praying with the woman, be praying, be knocking on the door. As long as we have received the vision, the reason he says don't quit is keep praying like Zechariah. Keep praying like that woman. Keep standing on that vision. Keep praying. If it's not time, like the vision said, he says, wait for it. Keep praying. The vision will not tarry. Keep on. Now, why? because there's a memorial. There's a timing of God. It's not yet. Now, when he says it will not tarry, it means when the fullness of time comes, you are not the one to tell anybody it's come. The fullness of time will suck you like a vacuum into the process. You don't even have to tell any. When it comes, everything shifts. Things begin to move. And that's the season we have been transitioning in since 2012. And that's the season that God programmed us to wait on him from the first month. And the things that are happening gradually through this season. And we're going to enter the cycle. The 21 days of the feast will close the cycle of the waiting period. And some things are about to transpire. And every one of us will understand what I just shared with you about the acceleration that takes place at the fullness of time. You will have to catch up with God, not God catching up with you. While you are waiting on God, while you're seeking God, Abraham's flesh cannot do anything. Sarah's womb is dying. And you say, how come this great God, he can't even give me, you know, Zachariah, how come I pray? You know, you look at God. The sign that you are, when you pray and you're waiting on God, and the sign that you are being programmed for great things sometimes is when you're waiting for a miracle that has not happened in a long time. Your bowl is such a sweet incense in heaven. I'm waiting to release miracles in the fullness of time. In the fullness of time, everything becomes miraculous. Everything changes. And it changes with acceleration. Amen? So I just want us to, I want you to know that we're entering that. You know, many times you think you're in the fullness of time, you know, that's what I'm saying. You know, Elijah was praying, he thought, the first time, that was it, you know. But, it, you know, so you see all these different people, you know, Joseph would have thought that. I have been there many times, I would have thought that. But it was going away this time. Every time you go away, God will give you a piece of the puzzle. But let me tell you one thing about puzzle. When you see the puzzle put together, and some parts are missing, in your mind you're still like, okay, you try to figure out the part that is missing and you might make mistake, but when you see a puzzle that is complete, it's complete. There is nothing missing, there is complete. That's how, when you eventually come to the fullness of time, there are things that will be clear and you will see it clear. This is it. And the acceleration begins. So these 21 days we're going to wait on the Lord will be the seal of the first 21 days, and it will be the seventh, you know, and we want to begin to thank God, to begin to manifest the expectations of the fullness of time. Like I shared with you at the beginning, it might be fullness of time for me believing for a car, or you believing for a car, or you know what I'm saying? What I say, whatever you're believing God for, the fullness of time is saying, God, I'm thanking you that I will see it in the physical realm. It's the time for the incense, the bowl to be empty. Whether it's a vision, whatever it is. So my belief and my prayer is as we seal the season, we're going to thank God for the fullness of time. The beginning of the fullness of time, meaning manifestations. Manifestations. Amen? So tonight, let's just take a few minutes and just thank God for the grace he's given us to wait upon him, and that he will just thank him to give us grace to just finish this process we've begun as we wait of every night on him, and as we enter this seventh month, this feast in this seventh month. And I know by the grace of God, as we stay faithful, God will allow me to share things that I could not believe my eyes could see as I waited upon the Lord, and things that I just thank God that he brought clarity to, and just he will pop the, he will make things come. He will make things come out in the spirit, just like this fullness of time that we just talked about. you know, in this season. So let one person at the back lead us, one person in the middle lead us, and one person in front, and Cheryl can dismiss us. But let's just thank God, Thanksgiving. We're going to spend a lot of time in worship, in praise. It's the key to waiting. Let's stay with it. God doesn't want us to. We are in a season where it's almost like the ark is finished. You know, don't do anything. They just don't do anything. Just keep prophesying. Animals will come two by two. They will come. It's a time where God is doing. Is now the one. As we wait, He will order our steps. Like, for example, the whole city of Cleveland and the churches of Cleveland don't know what's happening to them. Until I went away, I was shocked. The whole city, without knowing it, I've been in the committee meeting, I didn't know it, I didn't think about it, are planning to have 24-7 prayer, 7 days before 9/11. And then, after 9/11, they are having 21 days of community service called Ebola. Do you know that first day of 24-7 prayer begins on the Feast of Trumpets? And everything follows Feast of Trumpets to the end of the feast. City of Cleveland planning an activity with the young and the old and all the churches, filling up. I am doing 7 churches. The churches are cooperating, the pastors on fire, everybody. 24-7 prayer hosted by North Cleveland for the city of Cleveland. The mayors, everybody involved. How could you ever do that? And it keyed into the most powerful window of the feast in this season. How could that be a coincidence for the atmosphere over the city? And knowing what we know about as we're praying into this season. So God is setting up this city for an amazing breakthrough. Amen? Because of the fullness of time. So I'm just going to lead out, and then one of you back there, Bishop Michael, can lead us, and then either Van or, you know, Dana, or then Pamela, and then Pharaoh can dismiss us. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we give you glory. Father, we give you honor. No man will wait upon you in vain. Father, you are a God who has given us spiritual laws that what we reap, what we sow. There's a seed time, there's a harvest time. Father, you will answer all our prayers. You are a God who said, ask of me, I will show you great and mighty things. You are a God who says, if we knock, the door will be open. Father, you have revealed through your servants, John, that there is no prayers of faith that you do not present before your throne. Father, we thank you for the mysteries of waiting upon the faithfulness of your promises. We thank you for this grace you poured out to us, the unfolding of the mysteries of your kingdom by the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that as we wait upon you, Father, because he says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things you prepared for those who wait. It is through waiting we are able to yield to your will and your purpose and able to become pregnant and become vessels that manifest those things on earth. So, Father, we thank you for this mercy and favor you've shown to us to be yielded vessels. We surrender to you, O God. Father, sustain that which you began with us. Let nobody miss, O God, the price they paid so far. I pray that they will take this time serious and they will finish this process, that they will be partakers of this great reward. So, Father, I call from the north, the east, the south, and the west. I call the strength, the feeble to be strengthened and the weak to be strong. That we will wait upon the watch, O God, in this hour where the spiritual world is so volatile. Father, thank you for such favor that you give us the privilege to understand these mysteries and to be vessels you found waiting on you. Give us this grace, O God.